is powerful. What comes to mind?
Creation.
Creation. Absolutely. Great power in there. What else? He's in charge. Yeah. I like to be in charge, but it's handled. Yeah, when God's powerful, it's handled. What else? God's powerful. I'm sorry? Him smiting people? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. God has great power in executing judgment and discipline on those who deserve it. He's a fair God. Absolutely. I didn't think about that one. Holding together all the molecules of the universe. That's a big job. I can't keep my life together. What was that? I'm sorry? He wins. Absolutely. Book of Revelation, chapters 1 through 22, summed up, he wins. God wins, we win. Katie. Hmm. Yeah.
I don't know how
it keeps
us straight.
I don't know. It's tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
I am overwhelmed with just planting fruits and vegetables in my yard. I'm going to do it one of these years. But it's just because corn is different than blueberries, is different than oranges, it's overwhelming. And I imagine it's pretty simple Google, but yeah, I was overwhelmed that one day at Home Depot. Like, oh, this one needs this. Well, I can't buy any of this because I don't know what any of this means. But God knows each of us. He doesn't treat you like he treats Don, does he? Well, I mean, obviously loving, but yeah. Anything else? He has to watch him closer. That's what you think. Randy. Hmm. Yeah, all those miracles that are, well, yeah, of course.
The ones you did in the Bible and the ones
you're
doing today.
Yeah. Jesus sleeping in a boat. Aren't you worried? No, I'm not worried. Hush down, waves. It's pretty impressive. Waking up every morning. Yeah. There's lots of fantastic, just his power. We could spend so much time talking about his power. And so originally in this series, I was going to do just 2 days. Last week was going to be, we're going to look at God, his four big omnis. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And he's omnibenevolent. He's a loving God. And I was going to do those in 2 weekends. Well, last weekend we just covered one. And so I was just going to do his omnipotence today. And in going through that, we're going to finish up his omnipotence. The current schedule is July 21st. Just as you start studying, just like, man, this aspect, whoo, this is just great. And you just start, whoo, this deserves its own Sunday. This deserves its own Sunday. And we don't want to shortcut God. And my heart in doing all this is, I want to build up our faith. Encourage us. A lot of the stuff that we get in trouble when, well, yeah, of course Jesus spoke to the waves and they just calmed down and Peter walked on water. And well, no, that should always be miraculous. That should always be awesome. And there's a problem when the miraculous of God gets to be mundane for us. The problem is not with God. The problem is with Brian and perhaps a couple of you all. And if we're not walking in that power, this is what God is capable of. This is what God wants to do. He could do anything. If we're not walking in that, then we're going to have a pretty boring, mundane life. And I don't mean boring, just how are we glorifying God in anything we're doing? It's tough. So I believe that's why the Lord, after we finished up these 40 days of disciple making, what does it mean, look like at the various stages of our walk with Jesus? So as we come out of this, just I want us to encourage us to step out in that faith. All right, what is Lord, what do you want me to do next? I just want to build our faith in him. Increase our faith. Some of us might be here, let's take it up here. Some of us might be down here, let's take it up here. I don't know where we all are at. There's, I don't know, 40 of us here today. We're probably at different places on that spectrum. Some of us perhaps have slid a little bit because we allowed life to get in the way. But that's where we're going today. And this is core verse. We want to be our house built on that rock. And see, we do have the picture. I have no idea what happened last week. It doesn't matter. There was a lot of spiritual warfare going on, but hopefully the Lord was glorified in it. Matthew 7:25, Jesus says, "The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." So as we increase our faith, we are digging deeper into that rock. Not into the blessings from the rock, which could be, you know, the financial blessings, our health blessings, our relational blessings. But just know, I am safe and secure because of Jesus. So even if everything falls away, if we're found on the rock, just like, I mean, I love this picture. Lots of great pictures, but this house, this is probably a pretty secure house, is it not? It's not just on firm, rocky soil. It has the rock all around it. This is one secure house. So I want us to I want you guys to look in your Bibles. I don't have the verse up here, and that's kind of intentional. Or if you notice, John chapter 2, Jesus, he's called some of his disciples, they started following him. What happens in John chapter 2 right at the beginning? If you did your 40 days of disciple making and you can remember more than a day, then you might remember this. What does Jesus do? Where does Jesus take them? What is the first thing he does with them, with the miracle? Anybody remember?
Water to wine.
Water to wine. John chapter 2, Jesus, he doesn't take them to a Sermon on the Mount. He doesn't take them away and deepen their theology. He takes them to a wedding. Pretty interesting. A wedding, his mom is playing wedding hostess or whatever her role is. We know this narrative very well. They run out of wine. Jesus' mom comes to him. Jesus, hey, you got to do something. This always struck me as weird. But when I read it last, how long has Jesus' mom been waiting for Jesus to show that he's Jesus? 30 years. For 30 years, Jesus' mother, Mary, has known that he's Jesus, that he is God with us. And so now, finally, he's had the baptism. The Holy Spirit has descended on him like a dove. He has his disciples. He's out. He's a public figure now. And so Mary's, all right, show the world who you are. But Jesus slows down, no, we're just going to do this for the disciples. He takes them to this wedding to build their faith. He wants them to build their confidence. We can know a whole lot about Jesus from this fantastic, fantastic book, from the Bible. This is, we'll get into this, is the Word of God. This is breathed out by God. But if we do not have confidence in our God, our knowledge is useless. Well, actually, it's worse than useless. We become puffed up, don't we? Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If we don't have confidence, we don't have that faith in God, it doesn't matter how much we know about God. Pharisees knew an awful lot about God, didn't they? The Sadducees, all these other guys. There was a lot of knowledge about God going on, but Jesus wanted to take their faith deep. So he takes this water, turns it into wine. Jesus has power over creation, over the created things. That's pretty impressive. Jesus wanted to build the disciples of faith before their knowledge, and so that's what we're doing here. We want to build that faith even deeper as we do grow in the knowledge, and we want to build ourselves up. Because I don't think, at least in this church, nobody is going to say that, hey, well, this is incorrect. What's written here is incorrect. But as we live our daily lives, we might not have confidence that perhaps it's still the same power. God still wants to do the same things. If you go to the next slide here, we're going to look at, you know, why do I need to trust God more? We've got a number of verses increasing my faith. Well, what's the purpose of this? What do we need to do that? Jesus says, John 14, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me also will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do." Remember, Jesus wants to do greater things than we have documented here in Scripture that Jesus did. That's pretty impressive. As we look at everything that Jesus did here, because I'm going to the Father, you're going to do greater things. That next verse, John 15:5, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." We might have great knowledge, we might have insight, we might have all these things, but apart from Jesus, we can't do anything. We need to be deeply, deeply vested in that rock. And we can see in our own lives when we wander away, we get caught in this trapment or that trapment. It doesn't work well for us. 2 Corinthians 12:9 through 10, Paul writes, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" It's not about me. It's not about you, as wonderful and beautiful as you are. It's about His strength. It's about what He can do. And we're going to look at some of those things today. Finally, Matthew 28, "Behold, I am with you always." So if we have the all-powerful Jesus who is with us always, He wants to make us strong, we're going to do greater things. This is a fantastic recipe for awesome things. But unfortunately, many of us live spiritually neutered lives. Where is Jesus' power manifested? I don't say that necessarily condemning of you, but I can look in the old mirror and see the same thing. I should be leading the forefront. I should be out in the front. This is a fantastic time getting to prepare, and just I get to be overwhelmed with all these things. It's fantastic. So today we're just going to look at Jesus' power. We're going to look at just the power of His voice. There's power in His voice and just His speaking. Fantastic, fantastic power. And so some of these things, as we look at, they're going to overlap from week to week, and that's okay. I think we can use reminders. So where do you think we're going first? Russ, where are we going first? Power of God's voice. I'm sorry, I caught you. You were looking at your Bible.
Underlining what you
were doing. Okay. Well, thank you. So if we're looking at God's power and we're looking at His voice, where do you think we're going to first?
Creation.
There we go. Great place to start. Genesis 1:1. We'll start at the beginning. You had already said that. That's why I picked on you. Yeah, let's start in creation. We all know this. I've said this a number of times, but it's a great reminder. Each day, God said, "Let there be light." It was so. What does it say? God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters and separate the waters from the waters." It was so. He separated them. And day 3, the land, sea, vegetation. God said, "Let the waters in the heavens be gathered into one place. Let dry land appear." It was so. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seeds, fruit bearing trees, fruit in their seeds," all, and it was so. God speaks and it happens. God speaks and it happens. God said, "Let there be light," and it was so. God said, "Let the water swarm with the living creatures, the birds fly above the earth. Let the red snapper be over 16 inches so we can keep them here this wonderful fishing season." He didn't say that, but we know that that was His will because it was perfect. "Let the bag limit be increased." Let it be so. Day 6, God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creatures and all of their kinds, the livestock, creeping things, beasts of the earth, according to their kinds." It was so. God said, "Let us make man after our image, after our own likeness." So God created man in His own image. In 6 days, God speaks, and it all happens. How powerful and awesome is that? That is just fantastic. And we could pick this apart, but we got a lot more going on today. But God still has power over the earth, does He not? Go on to the next slide. We see here God's voice, the power of God's voice over creation, Matthew 28:8. "And they went and woke Him, saying, 'Save us, Lord.'" Remember, they're out there. They're in the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is sleeping, because obviously that's what the God of the universe does when He's not concerned. So Jesus is sleeping. They wake Him up. "Save us, Lord. We're perishing." He said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" And He rose. And what did He do to the winds? He rebuked them. He hushed them. He just used His voice. "And the sea, and there was a great calm." I don't imagine this took a while. I imagine this was immediate. John, you've done some sailing from time to time, right? I understand you're about to buy a boat and you're going to retire on the boat, right? Yeah. In a pretty gnarly day, how long does it take if the winds go slack for the seas to calm down?
Hours or days, usually.
Hours or days. Depending on how gnarly it is, right? And I imagine if you're worried you're going to die, these aren't just like some 2 to 3 foot. This is pretty intense. And all of a sudden, whoosh, he rebuked the seas. That's a great observation. Yeah, they're not. These have to be coming in over the boat. And then he speaks and it's done. God speaks with incredible power. God speaks and it's done. All of creation listens to God. And they marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Perhaps God had a reason to take them out on the sea with this bad day. So they could figure out, well, what kind of man is this? Well, this is a fully God, fully man. 100% God, 100% man. How awesome is that? Let's keep on going looking at the power of God's voice. Let's look at him as he speaks as one with authority. Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29 on the next slide. It says, when Jesus finished saying these things, so this is at the end of the great Sermon on the Mount. He speaks of these few chapters we have documented, and he's addressing the Pharisees, but he's building up and teaching the disciples and everybody. When Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teachings. For he was teaching them as one who had authority, not as their scribes. So this isn't quite as exciting, perhaps. But when Jesus spoke, he went, whoa, this is different than our current leaders. Whoa, when he corrects and this is how you ought to pray. Well, no, this is how you ought to give. This is how your mind ought to be. All these different things. He had the power and authority to say all those things. And they were taken back. Every word of God has the same authority, importance, or maybe not importance, but every word that Jesus spoke here on earth had the same authority as the Bible. It was all without error. So let's segue to Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, and Hebrews 4:12, we see there, we're well aware of these verses, all Scripture is breathed out by God. It's spoken out by Him on the next slide. And it's profitable for what? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good works. God breathed out this wonderful, wonderful living book. We see that Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, joints of marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It's a wonderful, powerful, powerful book. Because it's not just, pickles. Pat, tell me a book. I don't know. Curious George, that's all I know. That's about my reading level here. Pride and Prejudice. Don't waste your time in that 5-hour movie or the 2-hour movie. Take your nap. I'm sorry. I shouldn't editorialize. But it's alive and active. I'm sure we've all come across, we've read in the Scriptures, they jump off and they convict us of where we've fallen short. But they also encourage us. They have the ability to build us up. Last week we talked about maybe it was 2 weeks ago. I don't know, all these weeks they run together. But the Lord revealed a number of areas which I've fallen short, and part of the quarantine or the stay at home or whatever, just a lot of this is where I'm falling short. And for me, I realized, man, I am pretty short and unloving with my family. Or it's increased with us all being together. And 3-year-olds acting like 3-year-olds, and 5-year-olds acting like 5-year-olds, and 8-year-olds acting like 8-year-olds. I don't know, is anybody, you don't have to raise your hand, but I always found themselves, I'm getting a little bit more frustrated at home than I ought to. I think a lot of us can can relate to that. And so, Lord, this isn't good. This isn't healthy. As I texted Wayne and Irene and Pat the other day, hey, pray for me just to love my family. I said, if I can't love these people, then there's no chance for you guys. Is that true? Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah, it's sometimes easier to love other people. But generally, you know, I should love my family pretty well. So what I've done here, what the Lord led me to, we know 1 Corinthians 13, it's more than just a wedding verse. The love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy or boast, is not arrogant, is not rude. And so just meditating on these words, and it was the neatest thing. It wasn't just convicting, hey, Brian, here's where you're falling short, here's a long list. But it built me up. For the Word of God interacting with the Holy Spirit inside of me helped me with the patience. It built up that little patient module inside of me. The kind module inside of me. Just, you know, it started to fluff up. I don't know how this works. It just does, because it's a spiritual book. It's a supernatural book. Interacting with the supernatural being inside of me. And, you know, certainly not perfect here. Fortunately, Rachel and the kids aren't here today to speak to how imperfect I am. You guys don't have to call anybody in the church on that. But just all these things, the arrogant, the rude, it was just ministering, and just, it was edifying and building up. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience day after day. So I just say that to the power of the Word of God, of God's words. They're still powerful. And we know this. Moving on, talking about the power of healing on our next slide. God speaks and there's healing. We get the centurion in Matthew chapter 8. Centurion, he comes, he said, let's see here, comes and brings his, he doesn't have the child. He says, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my worth, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. Jesus, all you have to do is say it, just speak it. My servant, he'll be healed. That's pretty impressive. Just say it. He said, I'm a man under authority, with soldiers under authority. Me, I say, one goes and he goes. I say to one, come and he comes. Do this, he does it. How did Jesus react to the centurion? He marveled, wow, look at this man's great, wonderful faith here. Truly, truly, I tell you, no one in Israel had found such faith. The centurion said, let it go and be done as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment when Jesus spoke the words of healing. Jesus didn't have to be there. He didn't have to be present. But he said it and it was done. How awesome is that? And there's healing after healing where Jesus speaks and it is done. And we'll wrap up with this final power of God's voice. And I'm sure there could be many. And if you want to share those with me, great. I'm not picking these because the others are less important. These are just what happened, came first to my mind. But praise God if he lays other things on your heart just to build you and encourage you. We're going to talk about demonic stuff. Jesus did a lot of spiritual warfare, didn't he? It wasn't just a once or a twice. It seems like Jesus was constantly having these spiritual battles. Casting out the demons. Matthew 17. And it says, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he has seizures and he suffers terribly. For often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples and they could not heal him. Remember, Jesus sent out the disciples and gave them the power of the demonic, but they couldn't heal in this case. Jesus answered, O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus did what to the demon? He rebuked him. He spoke to him. And it came out of him. And the boy was healed instantly. He rebukes and the demon instantly comes out. The boy is instantly healed. The seizure tied to the demonic is gone. And the disciples come to them. They're scratching their heads. They're confused because they're used to having some spiritual victories. He said, why could we not cast it out? What was the reason? What did Jesus tell them? You have little faith. Your faith prevented. You didn't speak with that authority that it was going to actually happen. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Just this tiny, tiny little seed. The power of the words. So as I said at the beginning, God's desire is to generate that faith in Him, that faith in His power. So as He calls us into action, we can boldly step forward in faith, trusting that amazing things are going to happen. I imagine all of us, hopefully not too regularly, but we've had the Lord lay things on our hearts to step out, but then, I don't think this is going to come to any fruition, so we hold back. Not because, well, actually, yeah, we do lack the faith in God, but we too much faith in ourselves, in what I can do, what you can do. We want to build our faith in God, so when He asks us to step out, all right, Lord, I can't do it, but you can, so this is going to have to be 100% you. The disciples' problem was their lack of faith in God. And we see here, with faith, nothing in God's will shall be impossible. Kind of sounds like Philippians 4 to me. So as we wrap up our big idea on this last slide, God has already demonstrated His great power. He's already shown His great power. And He wants you and I to step out in faith and trust Him. Keep trusting Him more and more. But too often we just treat God, all right, well, yeah, I'm aware of your power, but your power remains over here. Yeah, your word is powerful, but is that applicable today? Are you actually doing something here today? Well, no, He's powerful. He's here with us. He wants to do wonderful things. Experiencing God and His faithfulness grows us spiritually as we step out and we take those little faith-filled risks. We take that step and, wow, that actually worked. Look at God provide. It grows us, it encourages us, and we ought to be keep on growing and growing and growing and growing. And I know it's tough. It's tough because it's always uncomfortable, because it's always the unknown. When we step over here, it's, oh, of course, this makes sense now. This is comfortable. But that's just crazy. But we step over here, and then, oh, I can see how this makes sense. We rationalize things in our mind. See, when we become comfortable, I believe that's a sign that God wants us to step out in faith and increase our faith. When we're comfortable. See, one of the neat things that I didn't expect from this whole COVID crisis, the pandemic, I have greater faith that revelation is gonna happen. I didn't doubt it. It's in Scripture. I didn't doubt that you're going to have this one world government. Jesus is going to come back and He's going to do wonderful things. He's going to bind Satan for 1,000 years. All these fantastic things are going to come true. But I have greater faith that I just didn't see, man, how is this world going to change? God shut down the entire world with a virus. That's pretty impressive. Not just one country, not just one. He did this to everybody pretty quickly. This world's going to change rapidly. I've had increase in faith, and I can remember the first person I led to Christ. Oh, I meant to have... Anyways. But so the first person I led to Christ, I was teaching a Sunday school class, and we're going through this lesson. It was at Christmas time, and so I had them write up kind of a naughty list, write down all of your sins or some sins. So write down. I said, now, what do you want you to do? I just thought about, all right, crumple it up, and we're just going to throw it in the trash can, because that's what, you know, God does. When you place your faith in Jesus on the cross, He takes all those sins and He throws them away. He doesn't hold them against you anymore. So I said, go ahead and throw them in the trash. They say He does it like this. I took him a piece of paper, and it's like over there, and I threw it, and it actually went in the little trash can. It was fantastic. And this girl said, it didn't go in the trash can. I said, yes, it did. Go over there and look. So she walks over there. It did go in the trash can. I said, that's exactly what Jesus does with your sins when you place your faith in Him. Do you want to place your faith in Jesus right now for your forgiveness of sins? And she said, yes. It was awesome. I had 3 more classes that weekend to teach. Do you know what I did for those other 3 classes? I did the same exact thing. How many shots did I make? 0. You're darn right. Though I made the one that was necessary. She saw it. She saw that connection. And that summer, it was another few kids at the summer camp. The Lord had now boldness. And so there's a few kids in one class, and it led them to the Lord. It was just fantastic. You see, when you step out in faith and God provides, it increases your faith. Keep on stepping, keep on building. God wants to do wonderful, amazing things in all spheres of our lives. And the wonderful thing, we'll get to this in August or September with God's omnibenevolence, but he is always loving. He is always loving. So think about this. How much love, grace, and mercy does God show to you and me when he speaks to our hearts? We hear, we understand, but we choose to ignore and do our own thing rather than obedience. God's already shown power. He can say something and stuff happens. Seas calm down. But he shows us grace and mercy. How awesome is that? By close of this, I encourage you to step out in that faith. God's already shown him powerful. You all know that. But sometimes we just need that booster shot in our arm to build our faith. Let's close in prayer and we'll have our closing worship song. Lord, we thank you so much that there's power just in your words and the words that you speak. Lord, may you encourage us here today. May you grow our faith. May you help us to take that next step in following you. I thank you so much that you did love us. You died on the cross for us. You became that perfect offering, that perfect sacrifice that we could never be. Help us not to waste it with cavalier lives that take you for granted. May today be a catalyst for change. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord. I rest on his unchanging.